Okay, we are live.
Okay, today is Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. Are we able to establish a quorum today?
Yes, we have member John Solu, member Chris Costeca, member Terry Ennis, member Nancy Dickerson, plus yourself, co-chair or vice chair, Amish Patel.
This is my first time leading the meeting, so.
There he is. He just got on. You're reprieved.
Oh, okay.
See, we just did this, set up the quorum, so that's where we're at. You have to unmute.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. I was having technical difficulties this morning. Okay, good morning. We are being recorded, correct, Jen? Okay. So let me just welcome everyone. This morning is Tuesday, May 5th. It is 9:02. This is a special meeting of the Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board. My name is Steve Allen. I'm the chair. Before we get started, if there's any members of the public or audience that would like to call in and ask questions, that phone number is 408-638-0968 or 669-900-6833. And the password is *9 to raise hand for public comment. We had a meeting yesterday with Mayor Heading, and good news is Morro Bay, I believe there was 5 or 6 confirmed cases, maybe 6. Anyway, there's not been a confirmed case in over 2 weeks. So those numbers are fantastic. Talking about flattening the curve, and it just speaks to all the sacrifices and the work and social distancing that, you know, everyone in the city has been working on. We've all made a lot of sacrifices in the business community. And I think that just goes to show, you know, the reasons why Governor Newsom is talking about opening certain sectors of business, retail and hospitality. And hopefully we'll hear announcements on that this week. And the city is consecutively working on an opening plan as well. So those are all positive signs. And I know we could use some good news here in the past couple months. So I'm looking at the agenda here this morning. We've established a quorum. I guess there's public comments on items for the agenda. Is that the next step?
And actually, I'm sorry, I did not see that member Isaac Sue is also on the call. I did not note him, so I apologize for that, Isaac.
Okay. We have Carol who'd like to speak.
Okay. Yes, hi, this is Carol Truesdale. I've been here since 1995, and I watch on Channel 20 your meetings, and it's important for me as a citizen of this city to understand the impact to the hoteliers in our city. And also, I was looking at the budget, too, and I had some questions as far as consulting services and some trade show space rent and advertising $20,000. Is there any way that we can, under the circumstances, because revenue is not coming in and we don't know when the steady stream of revenue is going to be coming in, that can we reach out to some of the local colleges like Cuesta College or even Cal Poly and get an intern to help us with some of our advertising in some way? Something that we can put to the website to say, you know, PDF. We just did that with the senior center. We just made our newsletter go live, and it's in a PDF format that was sent out in an email type thing. So since I don't know the inner workings of your organization, I thought that might be a way to save some money. Just an idea.
Great. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome.
I know we're going to speak in depth about items on the budget here shortly. So unless anyone wants to comment on that, is there any further public comment?
I don't see any other public comment.
Okay, great. Thank you. So primarily the, you know, the main item we have to speak about this morning is the budget, the TBID fiscal year 2021 budget. So Jen, you want to take it away from there? You're on mute, Jen. There you go.
Okay. I'm working with two computers because my desktop doesn't have audio, so we'll see how I do with this. So are you seeing my screen? No, let's try
it. We're not, no.
Host disabled, participating. Heather, you have to let me share my screen.
That would be AGP. Can you please allow Jen to share her screen? They have those
features. Okay, thanks. I thought, Stephen, it might be really good for you to share what was talked about as far as what the county rollout is going to do as well. What we talked about in our meeting yesterday would be good for the board to hear.
Yeah, so we've had a couple calls about reopening as a county, San Luis Obispo County. And those of you that have not read the draft reopening plan, it's set into different stages. They say we are pre-stage one at this point, and that opening and transitioning to different stages will be based upon, you know, the science of further, you know, positive confirmations. And like I said at the beginning of the meeting, I think we're definitely going in the right direction for that. So part of, you know, the stage reopening, at least for the business community, is what that's going to look like in terms of required personal protective equipment, you know, guards in restaurants, you know, masks, gloves, hand sanitizer, social distancing, and signage. So
can I interrupt, Steve? This is Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. You can now start sharing screens, and I apologize. We had it on host only. So
okay.
Welcome to share.
Perfect. Screen. Thank you. So, you know, as we get further down the road with that, we're going to share in advance as much of the information as we can with the business community, just for no other reason, so they can get ready for that next stage of opening, because I know we're all very looking forward to hopefully getting as much business in during this remaining spring and summer season as we can. So we are making progress. We're moving in the right direction. And, you know, I'd be happy to take some questions on that if anyone has any.
Steve, I have a question. You had mentioned this draft, the reopening plan. Where can that be downloaded from, or where can a copy of that be attained?
I'll send it to each of you after we finish the call.
Okay. And then item two, how will this information be shared as we get updates from either the governor or from the county or from the city? Is there a website, or is there something set up that the public and us can utilize? Like, it'd be nice to have one space to go, because, as you know, you start searching around and you hear different information all over the place. It'd be nice for like an official spot.
I can answer that. So the official county site is called readyslow.org. And that's the health office site that lists all the updates. So what's happening right now is the pre-document that we went through yesterday on our call. This is just recommendations from, so what the county did was they divided out different groups, hospitality, retail, restaurant, all different groups across the county. And those groups came back with recommendations. And so this draft is just a draft. Now the county health department will start reviewing it. They'll take the notes that Steve and I both gave Mayor Heading and City Manager Scott yesterday. There were very specific things that I'm concerned about. They didn't address like OTAs, you know, the pre-booked or pre-sold rooms. How do you deal with those if you don't have influence on who's buying those rooms? So they need to open that up somehow and give leniency on that. They talked about very specific requirements on cleanliness and hygiene, and one of them was hand sanitizer and wipes for each visitor that came in, which could be a very large ask if there's not small, you know, portion, like individual serving sizes that you could give to those visitors. So just, you know, very minute things like that we talked about, and Steve had some good points. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I don't think I do.
Some of the other comments, Chris. It was a really 30,000 foot view, in my opinion, in terms of reopening and what that meant for hospitality. One of the phrases in there was limit non-essential travel. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean we can allow leisure travel from within the county? That's one of the questions we had. Then it transitions into allowing business travel. Well, what does that mean? Is obviously some of us are getting some criticism from local residents in terms of what is essential and what is non-essential travel. I think purposely they didn't define that as specifically as they could. But my opinion as a hotelier, I would want to know more black and white what's allowed, just so we don't face criticism from residents as we bring in ultimately, you know, more guests to our properties.
Correct. Agreed.
Okay.
Okay, so let me go ahead and share my... Oh, Joan, you're on mute if you're trying to say something.
Go ahead, Joan.
Just the essential, non-essential travel thing, I think that's probably... I think hotels, by nature, do a lot of cleaning. So adding cleaning or changing cleaning or moving cleaning around to adjust it is one thing. But... And the same for vacation rentals. Moving the cleaning around to adjust it under the regulations, that can be done because there's a set guideline. But I agree with the question, the big question mark for essential, non-essential travel is, you know, how do you determine that? You cannot pick up the phone and call every one of your guests and go through a series of questions with them. You open yourself up as a business to discrimination, lawsuits and claims against your business by trying to drag information out. And then what is the cutoff? So I think any information that Jennifer can press on to get that box really, really defined for the hotels and vacation rentals and lodging in general is going to really, really help determine, how TOT and how business, how hotel and vacation rental and lodging business will come back into Morro Bay. And then we'll be able to determine what that fiscal, how to weigh and measure the fiscal impacts. And you'll better understand how to adjust your budgets and how you adjust your operations. So get your patience with it. You guys are doing great.
Yeah. And that was my question too, Joan, like on the travel, is it just county? Is it just California? Is it United States? Like they need to define the buckets specifically because it's very, very vague. All that is being done with SoCal, just so you know. So our county partner is very actively involved in creating these parameters. And so it's not just me at all. I'm just giving my input. The initial overview was put together by SoCal and a group of hoteliers. So we're on it. We're trying to stay on it. So what we ask and what they do, who knows? So all we can do is give them as much input as possible.
And Jen, let me just add that Mayor Heading and the city council seems very supportive of the business community and getting us reopened as well.
Yeah.
So they're doing everything they can to help us out. So if anyone has concerns, issues, you know, I would urge you to, you know, contact the mayor, contact Scott Collins. But we're all in this together and we are moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
All right. Jen, to kind of piggyback on that, I assume most of the hotels in town and lodging facilities have a database of clients. And some of those can be quite large, I'm sure, on the larger hotels. So I guess that definition is going to be important before we go and spend money on somebody to go through a list of 10,000 people and decide who's in the county, who's not in the county, who's essential, who's not. And so we spend all that money and then find out, oh, well, the rules are this. So, because I think it'd be embarrassing to mail out to our clients. And then when they call, say, oh, but no, you can't come. So that'll be a rough sell.
I agree. So this actually rolls us right into the budget. So I'll go into that. Let me share my screen and kind of talk about.
Sorry, Jen. Terry, did you have one other comment?
Sorry.
You're on mute, Terry. There you go.
So my understanding is that in Cayugas, a lot of the vacation rentals have been given the green light to go ahead and rent, and they are renting to visitors. So I was confused as to whether or not it was because we were the city or this was a county thing. So we're still supposed to be completely shut down as a county, correct?
It's not completely shut down. It is county mandate. It's not city. And the county is very clear on their direction as far as you can have people stay sheltering that have, you know, in town, or they are there to help family in town. You can shelter people associated with like hospitals or workers. Like we had a PG&E lineman. That's a perfect example of what can be housed.
Right.
And I've actually had quite a few direct emails pretty much daily asking, is this person okay? Is that person okay? And we're just, you know, I go through them and send them response back. And for the most part, the vacation rental owners have been really great, and they've been really stepping up with who they're letting in. I can't speak for Cayugas, you know, who knows?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So can you guys see that? Is it working?
Yes.
Woohoo. Okay. So just as a start for you guys, so yesterday, I don't know if you heard, the governor announced that later this week he's going to enter into phase two. And that's what the county is looking at right now, and how that kind of parlays into what we can or can't do. So just wanted to make you aware of that. I don't have an answer, but that's what we were just talking about. There's a couple of things that have happened since I prepared the budget that I just wanted to bring, you know, kind of into light of what's going on. So Visit SoCal has engaged Tourism Economics. They're a really fantastic group. And they are developing three different scenario lodging forecasts for us for 2020. And they're going to be, you know, broken down by occupancy, ADR, RevPAR, lodging taxes. And a lot of this projection will be based on STAR reports. So Morro Bay will be, you know, specifically included in that. They will be asking for some sort of financial from Morro Bay, and I don't know what that is yet, but so that's the first thing that's happening. So I'm kind of in this strange, kind of weird holding pattern right now, because I know we just have to do things, and at the same time, I'm waiting to get like that forecast back from Visit SoCal. Visit California and SoCal both are putting two pretty strong campaigns together, and we talk about it all the time, and I'm hoping to get, you know, what that is soon, but it's Road Trip Republic campaign and then Welcome All Californians. So two really strong campaigns that hopefully we can buy into, and where those are running and when they're running, they haven't announced yet. So I'm trying to be patient, but at the same time, it's really hard because I need to divide out that money and keep moving forward and figure out what we need to do. If, you know, are they advertising starting in June, or I don't know what it is. I just have no answer. So I apologize for not knowing exactly what they're doing, but we have a weekly call with SoCal, and we had it on Thursday, last Thursday, and they were hoping to have it done this week. So hopefully later this week or next week, they'll have a really clear, defined viewpoint on where they're advertising as far as markets and when the ad buys are going to start and how each DMO can be involved in them financially. Okay. So that kind of will lead me into, let's see if I can share my other screen. So I'm going to go into the staff report and just talk about overall kind of how the budget looks right now. So on a fiscal impact point of view, what's happening right now is obviously TOT is quite down, and the accounting department has effectively assume that it's going to generate $550,000 towards our budget. And they've done three different recovery assessments, and they've done two different budgets or three different budget scenarios, an optimistic, a moderate, and then a worst case scenario. What they've given us to use for budget is the middle, the moderate scenario, which is the $550,000. So with that, they're assuming that the transient occupancy revenue is going to be down quite a bit for this next year, and they're, you know, preparing us for that. This budget is going to be a little different than years past. What's happened in years past is usually there's a true up halfway through the year, and if there's additional money that's come in through TOT, then it funnels into my budget in the second half, and that's usually when we go back in and say we have extra money, let's put it to this or that. In this case, they've committed to do this probably every month, really look at TOT and see what's happening so we can get kind of an update on, are we ticking up, are we ticking down, and how's it looking, and we'll adjust the budget as we go. So it's really odd. It's kind of different since we don't know what's going to really happen. And hopefully with the document that SoCal is doing with tourism economics, that might also help our forecasting as well. So I'm going to go through, what I thought I could do is maybe go through my general line items. And then we can go, after I go through them all, kind of explain what's been taken out or what's been added in. And then we can just dive into each category and talk about what you guys want to change or update. These are all really placement holders. And so we can always move things within the budget or, you know, put them in a different category later on in the year if we feel that we need to move money around. So don't feel like this is a hard and fast, if we put, you know, $100 in this category, it has to stay there for the life of the year. Okay. Some couple things that I want to go through. I'm just going to go down to the different categories. So the first category is payroll and benefits. And this includes the layoff of one of the part-time staff members, plus the 5% pay reduction that we did for my position. And I attached the resolution in your staff report so you can see that and how that works. That includes all benefits. So anything that's associated with payroll includes benefits in that line item. So that takes the, hold on, I gotta turn my page. That takes $29,000 out of budget compared to this last year. Supplies, so supplies are toner for our office, paper for the office. It includes things like the books that I do for all the hotels at the annual meeting, things like that. And so I've cut a lot of that out, and I've reduced that by $1,000. That's pretty lean. I don't know that I can go any lower, but I've done what I can do so far on that. The consultant services, I've pared out what I can out of there. I still kept in our SEO contract. He did go down $100 a month for me, so we have negotiated a lower rate with him. But I also had to add in a freelance artist. Now that we don't have an agency, we will need to do outside services for our creative work for our ads that are running. And so I've put money in there. So that consultant service line item has gone up $2,400. Am I going too fast?
No.
Okay. The contract services is our fees that we would pay through Mental Marketing for design, public relations, management of all the media buy. So that $165,000 has come out for next year. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Promotion and advertising, that line item has always been our guide that we print and we have in hotels. I'm recommending to not have it this year. It's kind of a secondary need for us. It's once you're here and market that you get it. We do have a little bit of requests that come in through the year to mail them. And we still have two boxes here so we can hold on to those and mail those out for potential incoming guests if you'd like to do that. And just for them in the hotel room. So I'm curious what you think about that. Last year we printed 20,000 of those. So that's taken $12,000 out of that budget line item, the promotion advertising section. Print ads, last year we did a ad in the sport meeting planner's guide. And unfortunately, you know, now with what's going on, that's really obviously something we're not going to do. So that's a $4,500 gain that's taken off of that line item. Community grants, I'm curious what you think about all this. I have a very small placeholder that I put in there, just $8,000. Going back and looking at the current year, just so all of you know, there's some funds that did come back in. Car Show sent back 100% of their grant, so that's gone back into my budget. Plain Air sent back a good portion of theirs. The Kite Festival, the tickets were already purchased for the Kite Flyer, so those will roll over to next year. So that's already done. I think those are the three that sent their money back. I feel like I'm missing somebody. I'm going to have to think about that for a minute. So I've taken $42,000 out of community grants. That's put a star on that. I want to hear what you guys think about that. Promotion, media, other. This is where we usually have our passports that we do quarterly. And when we come in and talk about this section, Megan does have numbers she can talk to as far as how they've done with digital this year versus non-digital in the year before. If we go to 100% digital, that takes $7,000 out of that budget. The wine offer, promotion other, that category is the wine offer that we've done. I always budget high because we don't know what the redemption is going to be. Last year we budgeted $13,000, so I took all of that out of there. If we want to do the wine promotion, we can do that again, and we would just have to find a place to pull that money from. The trade shows, so I've left this in. Again, I want to hear what all of you think about this, and Scott has approved my travel for this. If we do decide that we want to do this, this would be for IPW next year. This is not until the end of May. So, you know, forecasting very far out, I think by then we're going to need to get out in front of groups and that type of business. So my gut says we should keep it in there. It is a heavy expense. It's $7,200. That includes travel, room, the space in the county booth. The SoCal county booth is quite substantial. One of the things I wanted to mention to all of you that just happened on Friday was SoCal had to lay off their sales manager, Michael Wambolt, which is a huge, huge loss for all of us. I mean, he's really, really dynamic. He's got great connections, you know, worldwide. I mean, they've spent years building that relationship, you know, with all these international travelers. So I'm really sorry to see that go, but I get it. I mean, he was, you know, pretty high ticket, and they're expecting like 15% travel trade this next year. So with that loss, they just could not afford to keep him on. So again, going back to that trade show, we're looking at going to IPW next year, end of May. Michael will not be there, so it'll definitely be different. It'll be more about, you know, growing relationships even tighter than we have before. So that to me, I think, should stay in there. And it's also something that we could pause on. We could take it off the budget, and then if our numbers move up mid-year, we could put it back on the budget and get back into it. So we'll talk about that a little bit. The advertising sponsorship, this is my co-op line item that I use for any co-ops we do, whether it's Visit California, Visit SoCal, Central Coast Tourism Council. I've increased this by $7,000. I think we're going to need it. I mean, if we could increase it more, I think we should, but I think we need to have some strong dollars in that line item for co-ops. It's really unfortunate. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like from them yet, so I'm guessing, but I've always felt every year that I never have enough in there just on normal years. So that's why I added more in for this year specifically. Looking at our digital media line items. So this last year with our agency in place, the agency gets a 12% commission on all media that we purchase. So just to kind of break it down for you, the total media budget this last year was $272,000 minus their commission. The actual ad placement dollars were $239,000. And what I'm recommending this year with no commission, so I'll manage it here in-house, would be $224,000. It's going to be a huge undertaking to do it here in-house, but I think right now it's doable because we have such limited amount of stuff that we're going to be doing. Once we get full back up to speed, I won't be able to manage it. I mean, the accounting side of it is what's more time consuming than anything. Processing and reconciling all the bills is a lot of work, but that's a big change for us is the digital media. Out of home is the outdoor board that we have over on Highway 1 when you're coming from San Luis. This is a private, private board. The owners of the board would prefer it to go away. And when I first started, they told me once we stopped advertising that they'd probably take the board down, just so you're aware. They charge us very little. They charge us $500 a month. We actually actively go out and have to mow around the board to keep it visible. They don't do that. I mean, they're just kind of hands off on it. If we wanted to put a new flex up, it would be nice to have a new flex with whatever this new message is, welcoming California. It's a very large board. It's larger than most outdoor boards. Most outdoor boards are 14 feet by 48 feet. This one is like 20 by 60 or something. It's really enormous. And so the cost to replace it plus the installation is going to run at least $7,000. So it's a big hit. And it's a secondary medium, so it's not necessary to change it out. If we want to wait on it, that's something that I would recommend to wait on. Digital services, we have a slight increase there because of the JackRabbit integration with vacation rentals. So that's $4,000. That's a requirement that cannot change. Digital assets. So this last year, we had quite a good contract with Dana, who gave us really high quality photos that we've got a really good stockpile of. And I don't feel that we need to have her on a monthly basis, but I would like a small placeholder in there in case we do decide we want to do either, some sort of campaign specific to welcoming Californians or something very Morro Bay-esque. And so I've put that placeholder in there temporarily. Visiting journalists, I took out all of our money in that. So what happens with that cost, usually that cost is for activities, food, hotel stay, and everybody gives us really good discounted rates, but that's what that money usually is. So the actual PR side of it, Megan will be doing in-house, and she'll be actively, reaching out to bring journalists in. But my recommendation is, as far as what they do here in town, I think we need to ask all of our constituents to step up. If they want to be involved in hosting a journalist and they get huge PR exposure, that they need to step up and cover the cost for whatever their portion of it is. That'll make it a little harder, but that's my gut on it. Lastly, there is a administrative charge that's taken out of our fund every year for, it's for IT tech down at City Hall. It's for Scott's time and accounting time down there, HR time. That's all what it is. And it's 2% fee. So she has down here, she's estimated $14,000. So that is that. Nothing I can do about that. So those are all my line items. And I just think we need to talk through it and hear what you guys think and what you want to do.
Great. Thank you, Jen.
Sorry it's so vague.
No, that's a lot of detail. Nancy, you had a comment?
Well, if I could summarize, Jen, because I always have to put things in a bigger picture so that I can help with the tactical input. And so if I could just restate the strategy that I hear here is that, in looking at the entire customer life cycle, which in past years, we've really focused on everything from consideration and attraction all the way through to in-town engagement, through to loyalty building and, long-term reputation. And I think what I see here is you're shifting the budget to really focus on the consideration and attraction phases of the marketing cycle, which I really think is the right thing for obvious reasons. And that kind of helps me make sense of some of the decisions that you're making. One of the things that's so important with consideration and attraction activities is the kind of influencers that you're attracting with you call them visiting journalists. I think of them more as, Instagram influencers, because they drive word of mouth traffic, right? Word of mouth really leverages social media in a way that we don't pay for people to talk about us. You get other people talking about us and you track word of mouth. That's what Facebook does. That's what everybody does. But if you could go into a little bit more detail on how you see the digital, if I got the strategy right, first question, did I get that right? And second, if in digital media spends, what is your, could you give us a little bit more detail about what you're thinking in the digital media spend?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So a lot of it will be, it'll all be social. So a lot of it will be on Facebook or Instagram, influencing people that already have a passion for Morro Bay or for Central Coast California or California beach towns in general is kind of the focus. And you can be very specific on where you reach out. We can do it within our drive market and really saturate that area. The challenge is going to be everybody else doing the same thing. So yep, there's that component. And then there's specific media outlets that I've been meeting with, and I don't have anything to report back to at this point, but like TripAdvisor is a really strong one for us. It's always done really well. The challenge that I'm having right now is we're very, very small. So when we had our first conversation with TripAdvisor, which was about a week and a half ago, went really well. And then I set up a second call. It was supposed to be on Friday with the lady that has always handled our bio, because I wanted her to go through what we've done in the past and try to evaluate it and really hone in on what we need to do for this next year. Well, she's been let go now. So I'm like, and there's, you know, a huge pile of DMOs above us that have a lot more money than I do that are going to get that first response, unfortunately, from them. And so the social media aspect of it, I can do now on my own without waiting for getting a buy set with, you know, an Expedia or TripAdvisor or any of those groups. So it'll have to be kind of two part. It's going to be a really strange year trying to get access to people, I think.
Yeah. What happened with some things like our Otter Cam or the Peregrine Cam or things like that? Things that drives, you know, I once heard Arianna Huffington say in a meeting, if anyone that's been stuck in a bedroom with a mosquito knows that you can be small and make a big impact, right? And so it's like really looking at what are the things that are truly story drivers that drive word of mouth traffic, mm-hmm. And are really inexpensive. So I'd love, maybe this isn't the time to talk about that level of detail now, but I'd love to kind of talk about what are the ways that we're small, but we're special and we can drive some word of mouth traffic.
And I know that Friends of the Harbor Department is looking at how to figure out how we can do a camera down there. So it is a topic. It's not hot on my list, just from a time wise. I just don't have the physical ability to get into more stuff. I'm trying to do really the instant drivers for getting people back right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Anyone else?
Am I on mute?
Can you hear me? No.
Okay, great. I'll give my 5 cents on a few of these items. Where'd it go? The reducing 7,000 of getting rid of the digital passports, I think that makes sense also. Is it possible to perhaps produce a little business card, size card saying, you know, come visit us on whatever that website would be? I assume we could probably make something ourselves by each hotel, but if maybe, Jen, you could put that together where we hand that out when people check into hotels, we hand them out to tell them, go to this site to pull that up. I think that'd be really inexpensive, I would assume, if it was business card size, but I'll get your thoughts on that. I think the trade show should stay in there. Again, we can adjust again. If we can adjust up, we can adjust down. I think you'd need to make plans to go and have confidence that you're going until we realize there's not enough funds to go and then eliminate it at that time. So I think you should plan on going to the IPW with the goal of us being back in business as usual by May, you know, and ramp up for next summer and fall. And a visiting journalist, I agree with that also. You know, if our occupancies are going to be as low as projected, I'm an optimist, so I say they're not going to be, but if they're going to be anywhere near that, then there are going to be vacant rooms here. So I think the hotels should be, and vacation rentals, more accommodating to visiting journalists at this time. And I would assume that that could work with restaurants and the other amenities in town. So I like your idea of removing that and just challenging us to step up to provide those services for those journalists. That's what I have.
Thank you, Chris. Jen, I had a comment. You know, the projections that I had read and commented on in the past, you know, generally showed that RevPAR would be down about 80% for April and May. You know, our three properties in Morro Bay, you know, down 72%, 83%. So it's pretty spot on with the assumption that, you know, year and all would be down somewhere between 45% to 55% for RevPAR. What is your overall reduction in budget? Do you know?
It's about half.
About 50%?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my only comment. Again, you know, unfortunately from the predictions, it's looking like these numbers are spot on so far. We're very early into this and hopefully it starts bouncing back. But, you know, those are the numbers, the real numbers that I'm seeing. And let me just remind everyone back in, gosh, what was it, 2001? If we go back to, you know, COVID-1, we actually did better in Morro Bay because more people were staying in California and taking staycations and traveling locally So I do think it's very important that we keep advertising and keep the TBID functional, you know, to capture that business when it comes back. So that's my comments. Anyone else? Joan?
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Jennifer, for going over that line by line like that. That was super helpful. I wanted to say, first of all, thanks to the City of Morro Bay staff, the City Council, and the Planning Commission for taking the pay cuts that they took to help our community. They voluntarily took those and worked through that situation with all the unions and the contracts. And so super appreciated. One of the things I looked at was the secondary chart that Jennifer provided, which is what with bringing in the new workload and then the reduction in staff, what that means and how the time will be allocated. And one of the things that I saw was that the TOT report would be removed from the agenda. I want to make sure that we discuss that later, because that's a huge measurement for us, especially if we are removing some of our other contracts that we lost through mental marketing, which was our, was it called Adara? I want to say it right. Our Adara measurement. Did I say that right? If we're losing that Adara measurement, our key metrics measurement is going to be the TOT report. So that's something I'd like to see us discuss as a board. Do we really want to see that cut, or do we want to do something else? Because I think that's going to be very important for us. In terms of the budget that Jennifer provided, and I'm sorry, I have terrible allergies, so you can probably hear that in my voice. I do believe that Stephen's right on point with the 2001 comment. When 9/11 happened, I think we had five or six hotels like you, Stephen. On 9/10/2001, John and I closed escrow on a 100-room hotel in Solvang, which is a 100% drive market. I mean, really crazy. You wake up the next morning and literally it's pretty nuts. So, you know, you hunker down in these hard times and you come together as a community. But in terms of the budget and the drive market and the California, the way we're working with VisLoc and Visit California, I think that's great opportunity for those co-ops that Jennifer talked about. And I would like to maybe see a little bit more of the $224,000 media budget really placed for some hard-hitting co-ops, so that even though, like Nancy said, we might be that mosquito in the room, we have the biggest buzz. And the only way for us to get that big buzz is to leverage off of somebody else with bigger springs. And, you know, in our market, nobody has bigger springs than the state of California. And then coming up on that, even though I know they're going to have a severe budget cut and the loss of Michael Womble will be felt, the next one is VisLoc. And in regards to Michael Womble, I sure hope that he lands on his feet and comes back around. And when VisLoc is ready, that he's there for us, because he was dynamic, really dynamic. In terms of IPW, I have to be honest with you, I'm thinking a little bit differently on it. I think that VisLoc is going to send somebody. It might not be Michael, but they will send a team in there, because they have so many hotels that they have to put pressure onto, and so many vacation rentals that they have to put pressure onto. And so I really believe that VisLoc is going to send somebody. I think we need to find that out. I don't think it's going to be Michael, but they might send another team. And if they are, I think we let them go and represent us, and we take that $7,500, or actually about probably a little more than $10,000 with all the auxiliary travel expenses, and we put that back into creating our buzz, as Nancy said, and getting our buzz louder. So for me, I'm not trying to be argumentative against Chris, because I love Chris, but I think that our IPW money is, because our budget is so tight, and I've seen our budget tighter than this before. So we can do this. We can do this if we all work together. I would be for taking the IPW money and maybe looking at the events, because I think that events are going to come back. I think they're going to look different. I think that for sure, you know, avocado margarita is going to look different. How are we going to social distance these things? But I think that once we are up and moving again and all of those cogs come in, it's going to be more important than ever to say, hey, the car show is back this year. It's more spread out. It looks different, but it's back. In terms of cutting the visitor's guide, I'm perfectly fine with cutting the visitor's guide. In terms of what Chris mentioned about putting a little business card or doing something with that, I could see how Jennifer could tie that into her social media campaign and create a contest where we build followers based on their monthly input on that contest, you know, posting whatever it is, I don't know, photos of Morbe, their kid with a sand bucket, I don't know. But so I would be more apt to take some of the dollars from just a few of them, not a lot, I'm not saying a majority, but there's $224,000 in there. And I have to say, this is cutting the marketing firm is a huge risk for this town. It's a big risk, and it puts a lot of pressure on Jennifer and this board to really help her where we can. I have lived here, and I worked in the industry here up until a couple of years ago, the tourism industry, and I have never, since we moved here in 1998, ever seen this community not have a marketing firm to place ads. So this is a real risk that we're taking. And I think Jennifer can do it, but I definitely think she's going to need our support. So those are my comments. I'm a no on IPW. I'd like to see a little more money come out and see us finesse things. And I'd like us to discuss the TOT report and what we're looking for.
Great. Thank you, John. And I think, you know, there are going to be good things that come out of the shelter in place order. Business travel. I don't think business travel, I agree with you, is going to look the same again. You know, how much more efficient is this Zoom call and not traveling? I've seen so many trade shows getting canceled, and what is that going to look like in the next 12 to 24 months? So I would tend to agree. I would be careful committing dollars towards trade shows in the near future. I think that's going to look different. People are going to be hesitant to fly. Anyone else? Amish, do you have any comments?
Yes, I do agree. Trade shows are definitely going to be a really hot topic. I had one in April that was canceled, or I should say postponed into August. And I'm actually very weary of going to it if it is held in August, just because it's so close to everything that's happened. And I believe the attendees are in the tens of thousands for the Asian American Hotel Owners Association. But I do agree with Joan. I would like to see some additional funding go to community event support and also the co-op ads. I had a quick question for Jennifer. The $8,000 that you recommended for 2021, is that just like $8,000 that we got back from the car show and other events that had returned money, or?
So it was not, Amish. I just really pared it down as far as I could. Like the car show is very solvent. They never used to have TBID funds. We started that when the city permit fees went up to help off alleviate some of that. So some of the events that are very solid, even avocado margarita, I don't think that it would warrant probably community support this next year. Some of them are going to go away. So I don't have a good, you know, understanding what that's going to be until we see the parameters. Can I go through a couple other things really fast that you guys mentioned? I wanted to tell you, first of all, the TOT report is not going away. It's the secondary report that Liz used to produce that had the graphs. The standard report that's done out of the city hall county office will always be done. It's not going away. So you always get two reports in your packet. The second one that's got colors on it and bar charts, that's the one that's going away. Just that one. So it'll just basically go back to what it used to always be. That secondary chart was put in by a previous chair that felt we needed to have kind of, you know, a broader thought on how that looked. So that's the only one I'm taking away. I agree. I would love to take money out of the digital spend. I didn't want to do that without talking with you guys. I was trying to be very equal to what we've done in the past. One of the things that we should probably talk about is, do we want to put money into the summer or not? We've never done it. We've always waited because our rooms are usually pretty solid, and we've pressed our money because it's so little into, you know, the shoulder season going into like starting to advertise in August for September and October rooms. So I think that's a discussion point we need to have, figuring that out. And then we can kind of pare down that money from there. The IPW, it is a co-op, just so you guys understand how the booth works. It's a county booth. It's 20 feet long. It has space for six people from DMOs to come and sit. So the county sets up the meetings. Michael always set those up. The lady that I can't remember her name that worked under him is still there. And so she will set all the meetings. And so what happens in the at IPW is they come into the booth, and the six of us have each 3 minutes to explain our destination, and we go around the circle and then they leave. It's a 15-minute meeting. That's how long the IPW meetings are. So in the past, it's been myself, City of SLO, Pismo Beach, Atascadero comes in as a town, plus one of their individual hotels comes in that position as well. So that's usually the group. And this year was supposed to be six of us. This year was supposed to be us, SLO, the new hotel in SLO, plus the two in Atascadero. So that's kind of how that works, just so you guys know. And it's nothing that we need to commit to right now. We can leave it there as a placeholder if you want, and we can just see what our market does through summer and then talk about it again. I have no problem not going. So whatever is best for you guys, I'm totally open to. The nice thing about this next year is it is a drive market. It was supposed to be in Vegas. They're going to redo it in Vegas, so I don't have to fly. So that's a really good thing from a cost standpoint. It'll help cost-wise. When I've gone before and it was like in Ohio, I mean, the cost is just ridiculous to get there. So that's one thing I want to mention on that. The other thing, just so all of you are kind of aware of my background and kind of where I come from, my life before this was in Las Vegas. I owned an advertising agency there, and we had very large contracts. We booked about $18 million in media every year for Mandalay Bay, Luxor, Excalibur, Green Valley Ranch, all the station casino properties. So I absolutely would not be even offering this if I didn't feel confident we would be okay. That's not me. I'm not like, let's just see if it'll work. That's not me at all. I feel very confident in, you know, being able to do this without an agency for a limited amount of time. It's going to be very pressing for me. It's probably going to be 60 to 70 hours work right now, but I don't see another choice. So that's kind of why I've taken that on, just so all of you are aware of kind of what I come from. So hopefully that gives you a little more sense of feeling okay about it, but what else we want to talk about?
Jen, thanks for that info. And I think 60, 70 hours a week is a little light. You can set up a little bit. Just kidding. Hey, summer, and I'm thinking outside of ourselves, of our location, but for Morro Bay as a whole, I would assume, and I want to hear the rest of the board's feeling, that summer is going to be key on the survival of some of these hotels. So with that in mind, that would probably be the reason to maybe advertise this summer. That's my initial reaction. I'm going to hear the rest of the board. I agree with what Joan said a minute ago about IPW. That was interesting. I don't get any hurt feelings. I want to hear that. I just thought that summer is going to be really key, because if we lose 30 or 40% of the summer, that's actually a bigger chunk of the annual than if you lost 30 or 40% in November. That's my thought. I want to hear the rest of the board.
Thank you. I agree with the summer. I think we do need to advertise in summer, and I still am bullish about moving the IPW money. Another reason why I am is because right now there's a travel ban on international travel. And we're talking about a lot of bus groups, right, that come through. a lot. There's only, I think, three or four hotels. There are three or four hotels in Morro Bay who can take bus groups. And I'm concerned that there's going to be a lot of fallout on the little guy and the vacation rental side of this thing if we don't do some advertising in summer. I'm even for taking maybe that IPW money, $7,500, and pressing summer down with that right now, as soon as we know what the messaging for the spring board is going to be, as soon as Jennifer knows. I do agree with Chris that if we don't get the pedals moving on summer soon, we are going to see some really distressed properties lose control of that distress and sink. So I think that we have to get rolling cautiously and safely, but we have to make sure that once we get rolling, we really, really press down on summer. So I'm for moving some of that, and I'm still for possibly moving some of the or understanding, I guess, better how the Facebook and Instagram drive market and media outlets are going to be used. And in terms to Jennifer's response on TOT, I'm glad that the TOT report that the city does is still going to be coming. The secondary report before Liz produced it was always produced by the board, and it included the STAR report. The STAR report was always a pass-through. The full STAR report, including with the Morro Bay numbers included, was always a direct pass-through to this board. At a minimum, I would like to see the STAR report be a direct pass-through to us. And if the board is willing, you know, I'm retired right now and at home. I bet you can imagine that I'm at home. And I'd be willing to see what it takes to put something very similar together for you if you want it. And then maybe bounce and work with one other board member so we can make sure that we're getting the information right and back to you. But I'd be willing to take that on. It doesn't seem like it's a huge thing. It would help staff. So I'd be happy to do that.
Great. Thank you, John. And let me just clarify, part of the reopening plan, not only for the county and for the state, and you probably heard this on the state level, it's a dimmer switch. So if, you know, there's a flare up in number of confirmed cases, if there's, God forbid, a second wave or a third wave, we've got to quickly back our foot off the gas in terms of marketing for summer. So we're really going to have to work closely and watch those numbers as well. I agree we need to advertise for the summer, but if they put further shelter in place, we go back to a stage one, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board and really watch our budgetary numbers. Isaac, did you have any comments?
I kind of agree with the decision to start our own advertising. I've always felt, I always felt like I never really saw the impact of mental marketing. I only heard about like their campaigns and stuff during the TBID meeting. So I think that we will be okay letting Jen take a hold of that. And I think, yeah, it'll be valuable to see what she can accomplish on her own.
Great, thank you. Any other comments, questions for Jen? Terry? You got on mute, Terry. There you go.
Okay. Two questions. On the ICW, I was just curious when you said you do those meetings, who is your audience that you're pitching to?
It's all incoming, like booking agents, travel agents, people that book tours for independents or their bus groups. But mainly what we've been seeing is more of the independent travelers. So it's a lot of travel agents. It's a lot of international. And then it's probably 50-50 international versus national.
Okay. And then I agree with marketing for summer. Great idea. I'm just curious what areas you market to. Would you focus on California or what would be your target area?
I think that'll all come from county and governor on what he allows, to be honest. I don't think it's my choice. One of the nice things about Facebook and our social media platforms like Instagram is we have access to that immediately, and I can turn it on literally overnight. I'm not at the disposal of going to like TripAdvisor and booking, ads with them and then waiting for them to run. you know, it's different. So the nice, that's what I really like about being able to get on our own social media platforms immediately. The other nice thing is social media, those people have asked to be on our page. They actively like Morro Bay and some, for some reason want to know about Morro Bay. So that consumer is, I think, an immediate driver, where when you advertise on third party OTAs or different platforms or search engines, you still specify, you know, I want people that are looking to stay in California or on the Central Coast. You can be very specific. And they can search up Morro Bay or Pismo Beach. Like, you can put in parameters like that. But it's more of a broad thought. We're trying to grow and grab markets that aren't necessarily originally looking for Morro Bay, but we've convinced them to come Morro Bay. So it's a different dynamic, where the social media, we can get on them now. They want Morro Bay. I mean, I don't know if you guys are watching the live feeds that I've been doing every day, but people are anxious to come back. I mean, they are anxious. I mean, it's kind of interesting, because you hear the negative side of, oh, I've been to Morro Bay, there's nothing to do and that type of thing. And everybody on that chat is just so anxious to come back. So I think that's really good. I mean, they're ready.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Jennifer, I'm just curious, and I know it's a lot of work to do what you're taking on, and thank you for your background, for providing your background, not only for us, but for the general public. One of the questions that I had is $224,000 is it's a big chunk of the $550,000-ish that we're going to be moving forward with. Will you be providing an actual marketing plan for that to us once you know what the jumping off points are? Usually in our budget cycle and in our TBID annual report meeting, Mental Marketing or whoever the marketing firm was provided us with a future marketing plan. That way the hotels could see and leverage what Morro Bay's marketing was going to be. So in other words, if there was a digital media push in Bakersfield in November, they could also do the same thing to their Bakersfield guests, right? And I was wondering if you were going to be providing something like that, a marketing plan.
I definitely can. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think it's going to be a timing issue, because as soon as they say go, we need to go that minute. And I won't know what we can advertise until they say go, right? So it's going to be like the chicken or the egg. So I think it'll maybe be two phase. Maybe we get on social media immediately, start advertising our destination and why you should come back right now. And then we put a plan together and I bring it to the board of, here's how I want to roll out going into the shoulder season. So if you're okay with that, that might be a good way to do it.
Yeah. Just so I think we can see, and then as you adjust it or release it, get it out to the hotels, because now I know when I used to have one, we used it to kind of decide when and where we would put some of our advertising dollars or our internal social media pushes. So yeah, super.
Yeah. And I think another challenge is all the events. I mean, what the heck that looks like. I mean, I keep thinking about the Lighted Boat Parade. What the heck is going to happen with that? I'm trying to just not overthink it, because I stay up at night when I do, but there's a lot to kind of consider and what's going to change. It's overwhelming.
Okay. Anyone else? Questions, comments for Jen?
I wonder if Megan wants to talk about some numbers. Do you mind, Megan, talking about some of the things that have kind of what we've seen, like with the passport and the wine, so we can either check those off or add them in or whatever you guys want to do?
Yeah, of course. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Cool. So as far as the wine promotion goes, we had almost 700 bottles, 663 bottles of wine redeemed last year, and it was about the same number for the year previously, so for 2018. So at a cost of $5 per bottle, it cost in 2019 $3,315 in total. So that's obviously a little bit different than what was budgeted for, but we do also have to take in consideration that the VRs are now a part of the process. So when we initially ran the numbers and used the percentage of redemption to occupancy for hotels and then translated that to VRs, we're looking at a little over $4,000 if it would be similar to last year. So I don't know if that's something that potentially we would want to do in terms of seeing any benefit to the wine promotion, how we all feel about that. And then as far as restaurant passports go, the digital version for this past year got over 1,000 downloads versus the physical passport the year previously got 376 redemptions. So clearly when you do the digital, people are jumping on board way quicker on that and are definitely interested. The spring passport is a little bit harder to kind of analyze only because we were less than a month in when kind of all of this started. But from the restaurant passport, it seems like the digital would be potentially the way to go, depending on how everyone feels.
And the digital passport grows our database, which I like too.
Yeah, we got over 180 emails from the restaurant passport.
Something we also might want to talk about is from the board is not only the wine promotion, but is there, do you want to do anything like that, whether it's wine or something else where you're giving something physical or a discount to incoming guests to influence them? It's very hard to deal with, you know, money, you know, as far as doing a discount like that. That's a really hard thing to do. I know that City of Slo does a $100 gift card for people in October. It does really well for her. The challenge that I see with it is they can take the card home. I mean, there's no way to control they're going to use it in Morobay or they use it in Slo. So, but there are things like that. I think we might want to talk around the table about that a little bit and see if there's any interest, or the wine, do it again, or whatever you guys want to talk about.
Jen, I'm thinking in this market that we have and these reduced budgets that perhaps those responsibilities have to fall on the individual businesses. And what promotions they might want to give to their individual guests. I don't think the budget's there to do that. And that being said, in this same market, it might be worthwhile to reach out to the wine promotion people. You might be able to get free wine in this situation if it was tied to a winery or a location to where it does bring clients in. It brings people into the location. So I think there's a possibility for that. But if it costs, I don't think it's really in your budgets this year to do that. And we just put that on the individual business owners.
I like that. We do get free wine, just so you know, for our visiting journalists. We have an alliance with Etna Valley and they give us a ton of wine. So each journalist gets two bottles coming in. We don't pay for it.
Right. So there might be an opportunity. There's only 663 bottles. That made me realize that some winery or some location might see the value in that.
Our properties, we do a couple hour, you know, wine and cheese every evening. And it's, I'm talking to myself, I'm trying to think what that's going to look like with social distancing. But, you know, that's what everyone could implement and then get a savings on, you know, the wine passport too. I agree with Chris. I just think this is scorched earth budgetary numbers at this point. We just need to save wherever we can.
Okay, great. So we'll just keep that off the budget as I had already assumed. I think that's smart. So for the advertising spend, we should probably talk about how much we want to carve out of that. Shoulder season, you know, we probably need a good at least $20,000 per month. It's not a lot of money, but I think we need to hold some pretty good dollars going into shoulder. We try to advertise 30 to 60 days ahead of stay. I think our average stay is like 37 days prior for drive mark for fly, and it's like 15 days for drive, which is really interesting. Now we're talking about mainly drive. So that could help shorten our lead time as far as spend, which might be nice. But we probably need to make a decision, and we don't have to do it today. I can come back and we can talk more about how we divide out for summer, but I think there should be some agreement now on what we want to allocate as soon as this opens up, you know, and just see what that looks like for summer. I mean, it might be, we might want to do at least $5,000 a month for I don't know if it starts, hopefully it's going to start in a week or 2 weeks, but how are you guys feeling about?
I think on a larger scale, Jen, I'm okay with giving you an extra long leash in this area. I know it's a lot of pressure, but I think you're going to need to stay extremely fluid. If you have to wait 30 days, perhaps, to run something by the board before you go and do something, you may miss the mark. So I think you have to have a lot of fluidity as a general basis. And then, yes, we can give some direction now, but I want to see if the board is comfortable with that. You would report after the fact of where monies were spent. But I think it's going to be real hard to get a lot of approvals in advance to make it functional.
I agree, yeah.
I agree with Chris. Jen, I have a general question. I know there's some council members online here this morning, too. Yesterday, we were talking that we were pre-phase one, and Governor Newsom is talking about opening up to phase two. Are there different markers that we're using?
Shouldn't be. It's supposed to all coordinate together. I thought that was weird too.
And do you know when he's talking about opening up certain segments of hospitality, what that's going to look like?
I don't. I only saw the document you did. The interesting, and Jeff raised his hand, maybe he can give us some more thoughts on it. But my understanding was that he was going to move to phase two later this week is what he said.
That's what he said.
I know.
Yeah, so let me just chime in. It's a good question, Steve. There's a little coordination issue here. His phase two is our phase one. So that there's some confusion there. And while I'm on here, I just want to say I'm so impressed with Jennifer, the budget cuts and what you're doing. And I have enormous confidence in this board. Most of what you talk about, I have no idea what you're talking about, which makes me feel really comfortable. the unfortunate thing is, and I appreciate what you just said, Chris, and giving latitude to Jennifer, because the unfortunate thing is it's going to be like a green light. And when it happens, it's going to happen, and everyone's going to want to open their doors, whether that's retail or whatever is going on. So, I think it's the right thing to do to just give it to Jennifer and say, when it happens, boom, let's do this. One comment about the billboard on Highway 1, which I love, obviously very low tech, but one thought I had was that when we do get the green light, maybe we could get a fairly affordable white banner that would go across the front that would say, we're open for business or something like that, so that people driving up the coast looking for a place to go. And I think there will be a lot of people. We might be overrun initially in some ways, which of course I'm hoping will happen, but there is an enormous pent-up demand of people to get out of their house, to travel, to come to the Central Coast, I believe, at this time. And we just need to let everybody know in every way we possibly can once that green light turns on. So anyway, thank you, board members, for all you're doing. I have enormous confidence in you and Jennifer, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Heller. So, Jen, if we gave you latitude, what would that look like? What would you recommend?
I would I'd put some ads together for social media and get on as soon as it opened up, and they'd be all about wide open spaces, you know, which is, I mean, it falls right into our campaign that we've already done. So the intention before all this happened was to take our set of videos, our 10 videos that we did, that are you guys all familiar with what those look like? I mean, they're all about outside space, not being by other people, and they give that feeling and that what Morro Bay is all about. And that really falls into where we need to go, which is really nice that we have those and we can use those as something. But I think we also need to retool the branding ads and make them less silly and more about being open and being outdoors and kind of that thought pattern. So I definitely will, I'll put some stuff together for you guys to see on that as well.
Great, thank you. So, I mean, at this point, you need a recommendation. Do you need a motion from the board?
So, I guess the only thing we need to talk about is if we want to pull some money out of the digital spend and put it into the co-op section, which I would love to see. I would love to have more in the co-op. So right now, where is it? I mean, we have, you know, quite a bit in the digital spend. It's $224 right now. Does anybody want to make a recommendation on how much to move into the co-op section?
I'm willing to take a shot at it. Everyone else can say no, or they can say yes, or we can adjust it. Let's see, you were talking about using $20,000 a month. We have we have 224 in there.
I have 20 in the co-op right now is what I've got assessed for this next year.
What would you think, Jennifer, if we move the 7,500 out of the IPW and we added an additional 10,000 from the, here goes my voice, we added an additional 10,000 out of the 224. So we moved 17,500 into the co-op spending to really pump that up a little and make our mosquito bigger. Would that be doable? Is that something that would be helpful, or do you need more, do you think?
I think that would be fine for now. And once we get all those, what those co-op things look like, I can come back and talk to you more about that. I think it'll be soon. I think we'll probably know that 30 days or less. And then I think we should probably reassess IPW again in maybe October, November, see how we did for summer.
Well, I'm bullish on having a positive attitude. And I think, here's what I think. I think all of this great social media, and I think Councilmember Heller understands marketing a little bit better than he thinks he does, because he came up with a great idea about the banner on the billboard. So an inexpensive solution. I think that we are a fabulous destination. And I think people are just going to come back here social distance correctly. And have a really comfortable stay. And Jennifer's going to make a big impact. And in the spring, I think we're going to have a little bit of budget overflow, and we're going to be able to make the difference up and get to IPW then.
Yeah.
Jen, in the past, using just some rough math, you had a budget of X, and you divided that, I'm going to say, by 9 months, roughly, you know, more in shoulder season and more in spring, maybe less in winter. But you had a theorem that you worked with. I think now you just have to use that on a 12-month scale with your new budgetary numbers. And that can probably give you a rough number of what you can spend in the summer. Mm-hmm. That didn't make sense. I can write something up. I do math better in my head than I speak it. But you're on a 12-month scale instead of a 9-month. And does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Good.
Based on the market forecasts that have been coming out recently, my interpretation is that they are showing that we're going to have a strong winter compared to a summer this year. And I guess just as a board, what do you guys think? How that'll affect Morro Bay in terms of digital spending. Should we focus more knowing that the winter is going to be stronger, or should we focus more on the winter and try to boost ourselves up during that time when more people are likely to be traveling?
Can you focus on the summer on this when people will be traveling?
The way I've been interpreting the market forecast is that we're going to have a stronger winter than we are a summer this year. And I just attribute that just because this is a really fluid situation and states and people are taking precautions as they are, I guess, given out in the media and by local health officials. Especially with the international market not being able to come into the U.S. and travel, that's going to contribute a lot to the decline in tourism this summer. I think the real push is going to be the drive markets that we've discussed. But kind of moving into the winter, I feel more people are going to be comfortable leaving their homes and traveling just as time moves forward from this and the state starts to reopen.
I see it a little differently. I agree big picture, but Jen's going to have to watch the memorandums and such that come out. But I think once people are allowed to travel, I think they're going to be out there. I think there's going to be cars flocking everywhere. They're doing it now. Like I said before, out in front of our hotel, there's just cars. People are driving around just looking for things to do. So I think when they are allowed to stay in these hotels and we feel comfortable as a city, we need to be ready. We need to capture that because they're going to stop somewhere. They're going to stop in Pismo. They're going to stop in Cambria. They're going to stop somewhere. And Morro Bay has to be ready for that. That's my take. And back to the part that I think a lot of our hoteliers, our accommodations, I got to get better at that, need summer income as much as possible to stay afloat.
I agree. Yeah. Summer's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. Summer is going to be tough, I think. And don't get me wrong. I think winter will be tough too. And heaven help us should we have a secondary wave of something come through. That would be really tough to overcome. One of the things that is happening that will impact, I think, especially drive markets in a positive way, is something Nancy touched on before the meeting started. She said she never wanted to teach in a classroom again. And the governor is issuing new guidelines for how school is going to start up. I have a friend whose daughter is in a master's program, and they were contacted by Cal State University Fullerton that they would be doing all online classes this year. So some of those students, I have two sons in college, some of those students, like my boys, are saying, hey, if we're going to do online classes, I'm going to fold my computer up and I'm going to do it while I'm on a road trip. Mm-hmm. Because there is a pent-up demand for travel. Californians, it is life, liberty, and the pursuit of travel and the California lifestyle for us. And I think, you know, nobody is better suited, no destination is better suited than, of course, the coast. But in studies for California, the number one reason why Californians travel is to come to the coast. Mm-hmm. It's to come to the coast. It doesn't matter whether that's the coast above San Francisco or our coast or San Diego. It's to come to the coast. And so that's really, really important. And they've said school has to look different, including universities, which, you know, some of the university students will be on a shoestring budget, but it could all work in our community's favor. And I think, yeah, Jennifer needs to be as fluid as possible. But I think we're, you know, back to the budget. It's putting more money into the co-op and what exactly we want to do. And, you know, what our decisions are very important. They're going to impact this community fiscally. So we need to make sure that we make sound decisions so Jennifer has lots of room to run with.
John, do you want to maybe put your financial recommendations into a motion?
Let me pull up the budget. John, you want me to pull? Let me pull up the budget so we can look at what I changed, okay?
Oh, okay.
Hold on. Okay. You guys see that?
Yes.
So it's this middle column is what we're talking about as next year's recommendation. So I took out the trade show space. I increased our co-ops to 27,200. That's all the trade show space plus. And then I lowered this. This is the digital media. So I took 10,000 out of that.
Okay.
And then I pulled out down here mileage, travel, and travel expense. So that takes us to 549. So we still have some more money in there but I think it's fine where it is. So.
And Jen, my thought would be if you see some incredible co-op opportunity that most likely, you know, you come to us and say, hey, let's pull it out of digital media and put it here because I have this opportunity. That's probably the only other place you're going to be able to take money from this upcoming year that I can see.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of those two are going to have to work together, and you'll just have to direct us as to why you might have to shift from one to the other of those two columns, advertising, sponsorships, and digital media.
I agree. And same thing, like if you want to do a banner on the outdoor board, which I think is a great idea, I would probably pull that out of digital. To put on a small flex, it might be $1,000. It's more getting the darn people out there to put the thing up that's the bigger issue. I mean, it's nobody wants to go out on that property.
Well, you might find that there's pent-up demand for that now.
So, and, you know, unfortunately, that it's going to be different now that I'm doing it in-house, because before, third party, you know, Marianne could hire somebody and I didn't have to deal with, you know, insurance or anything like that. It went under them. Now, if I hire somebody to go out and hang a flex, they have to be city approved, a city vendor. And I mean, it's that's going to be the tough side of what I'm doing, is getting people under contract, making sure they're set up right, where before I used to let that type of stuff, I could move it faster because I could do it under mental marketing. So, but I'll figure it out.
We can get a hammer for Scott Collins and send him out there to put the banner up.
Yeah.
Hey, volunteers used to do it. My husband did the weed whacking out there for years, Stephen.
There you go.
So,
When you said that there was a couple of extra, I think, well, a little bit of extra money were your words. There's a little bit of extra money in there somewhere. What is that little bit of extra money? How much is that?
$50.
$50. Holy. Maybe that's Chris's business cards.
Okay. $800. It's nothing. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah. All right.
It's Chris's business cards if he prints them himself.
Yeah.
Right. So it can't go through the city, right? Yeah. His business card promotional program.
I can increase my supplies, which I could do those cards under there, to $3,000, and then that would get us about right on that if you want to do that.
Okay.
For Chris.
Just speaking of the business cards, did we not have the little cards this past for the spring
passport? Yes, we did. We did them afterwards. I think we did them 30 days into the promotion, and then unfortunately, world collapsed. So, who knows? But Chris, you had them at your front desk, right? How did they? Were they helpful?
I can honestly say I do not know. I don't remember seeing them. Hey, my mind is foggy after all this.
Megan, can you give us opinion?
I don't know, because I don't know what it would have been without them, I guess. But yeah, we created them, handed them out to all the hotels. Everyone seemed to appreciate that they were out there, but I don't know in terms of how much it bolstered.
Yeah.
Visitation to the website or anything like that.
Mr. Miller has a stand up for question too. Sorry, go ahead, Amish.
I think out of the cards that were distributed to my property, I still have about 75% of them where they still sit.
So what I was talking about is more handing those out upon check-in. Because I notice our clients, you get bombarded at check-in, as you know, there's a lot of signatures, a lot of initials, a lot of information. And if they take it with them, that seems to make the difference. Because utilizing on our Wi-Fi password, we used to, you know, tell them it was on a card in their room, and then they 10 minutes later call us at the front desk. But when we handed them a card with it on there, it seems like they got to the room, they sat down, they saw the card, then they were able to figure it out without calling. That was kind of my same thought, having that. They said something about a digital, then it just is forgotten. But, oh, here it is. It's in my check-in package. That's what I was looking to utilize it for.
I don't think it's a problem. I changed the supply line item to $3,200. So that had like a little more money in there. Okay, we removed the trade show space rent, advertising sponsorships. We moved up to 27.2.
Carrie, you had a comment?
I'm sorry?
Jeff Hallerdin.
Oh, I'm sorry to go back to the banner thing, but since it was my idea, I'll work with Scott Collins to see if we can get some volunteers to install it. So if you can handle getting it made, we'll get it up.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Terry, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, is there a way of distributing those cards to the vacation rentals as well?
So I think we do have to. So here's one of the things that's off the list, is we are no longer be doing deliveries to anybody. That was a very time consuming thing. We'd take everything out to everybody. So, and on top of this, I don't know if all of you are aware, but the visitor center contract has been terminated. So technically we won't have a visitor center this summer. So we'll have to figure out how to get them to everybody. I mean, I think I'll send a letter and see if people want to come pick them up. Hopefully our office will be reopened and they can just pick them up for Megan and I, but it's going to be a different world this summer for sure. Well, we won't do a summer passport. We'll do one into fall, but we'll figure it out.
Is the tourism department a member of the Chamber of Commerce? Maybe the Chamber of Commerce could help us out with that too. The pickup services part, I mean, from their reception area.
I'm not a member, but the city is under contract with the chamber. So technically I'll say yes, because we're a city department.
And I think it's fair for all accommodation owners to come pick those up themselves. I think that's reasonable.
Agreed. So Jen, do you need a motion on your amended budget?
I do. Jeff has another question.
Yes, just one comment regarding distributing the materials. You might talk to Chief Knuckles about that, Jennifer. We've got a large group of volunteers in the CERT group who are ready, willing, and able to do just all kinds of different things. So if you want to follow up on that, you're certainly, it might help you out.
Okay, thank you.
I'm willing to make a motion if we think we're ready to go for it. I move that we approve the budget that Jennifer presented, adjusting $7,500 from IPW and $10,000 from digital assets to the co-op line, making the co-op $27,200, and that we move $800, the remaining $800 overage to adjustment, rather, to printing.
And you need supplies. Digital media.
Excuse me?
You need to reduce down digital media.
Yes, that reduces digital media down by $10,000 and it reduces IPW trade down to zero.
Thank you, John. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Hey, Steve, real quick.
Yep.
It's just a recommendation to council. I just want to make sure that's noted in the recommendation or in the motion.
Scott?
Yes. I've been lurking this whole time.
Sneaky, little sneak attack.
I heard Steve and Jeff's assignment I was just handed, so that's going to be noted for later.
So I'm sorry, Heather, can you read it back to me? Because it's wonky and nobody seconded it yet, so maybe I'll rephrase.
I'll have to get the numbers back. I'm so sorry. But I heard Chris second it, actually.
Oh, okay.
But I think Jen has the budget numbers for the 75. Adjusting.
Yeah. Do you want me to read them?
Yes, please.
Okay. Change the supply line item to 3,200. Remove line item trade show space rent. Reduce down the advertising or increase the advertising sponsorship to 27,200. Reduce down the digital media spend to $214,000. And remove three line items, mileage reimbursement, meals and lodging, and travel expense.
Yes, thank you. And we need to add into the top of that, if Chris is okay with not rewording the whole thing, add that it's a recommendation to council.
Yeah. I'll second.
So we've got a first and a second. Any further discussion or public comment? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Do we need to do a roll call of that, Heather, for you, or are you okay with that?
I'm good. Okay. Thank you.
Good.
So now, can we discuss really briefly the TOT, doing something with the TOT, making sure we at least, at minimum, get the STAR report pushed through to us so we can see how we're doing against our comp set, our county comp set. And actually, there's a state STAR that shows how our county is doing against the state, but I'm not sure we really want to get that far into it. I'm more interested in the county comp set for lodging. I know that it doesn't, in my mind, it does not reflect vacation rentals, Terry, but what it will do is show you similarly how the destination is being compressed and how that'll, we understand how that spills off onto vacation rentals and and camping. So I think it's really important that we have that information. So let me maybe have a little bit of that conversation, because it's in our the adjustment to take that out is in our packet here. So what do you all think?
So we do get the county STAR report. Every hotel and VR should get it from the county. They send an email out weekly with the STAR updates. So I can just start adding that into our TBID packet. It's not a big deal.
Right. My understanding is we're having everything the same. We're just not having those graphs and charts. We just have to read the actual numbers, which
yes,
is absolutely fine.
Thank you.
There's an interesting, comment that came up in the meeting yesterday that RVs are actually considered camping, if I'm not mistaken. And so they would open up at a different phase than the hotels.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that we're able to discuss that information. If we don't have it included in our packet, we can't discuss it. It's against the Brown Act. And it's super important for us to have measurements. Like I said, with Adara going away, I mean, we loved that Adara information. It really, you know, helped us. But yeah, now we're not going to have it. So we have to look at the arsenal that we have and really digest that information.
Great. Okay, thank you. Anyone else have anything? Jen, we're good?
Nancy had a question about the camping, what we talked about at our last meeting, and I don't have an update from council. I don't know if is Scott still on the call or did he leave? Or Jeff?
Yeah, I'm still on the call. What was the question?
The possibility of camping out at the Rock and on the Embarcadero, was there a decision made by council on that?
Decision, no. General support for further study, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So if we don't have any further business, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. It is 10:37. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.